This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. My dear respected elders, my brothers, my sisters, my young friends, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, our creator, our sustainer, our protector, the designer of everything and nourisher of everything that exists. And we begin by sending peace and salutations upon his beloved messenger, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, his final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. I hope and I pray that all of you are doing well by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe it or not, we are now in the month of Sha'ban, and it's the 6th of Sha'ban, which means that there's about 24 days left till the month of Ramadan. Now, when we think of Ramadan, of course, our last reference for Ramadan is the previous year, last year. And it was probably our most unique Ramadan experience ever. Sadly though, most of us were not able to offer a single prayer, a single salat in jama'at in the masjid. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the reward of offering each of those prayers as if we offered them in Masjid al-Haram. Because the reward of offering one prayer in Masjid al-Haram, according to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is equal to 100,000 prayers in terms of its virtue and its reward. And as we discussed long ago, my brothers and sisters, let us elevate our actions, but also our intentions and our du'as as well. So if you're going to make dua, why not aim high? Why just ask for a regular reward when we can ask for the greatest of rewards? So, let us always try to elevate and find ways to improve our intentions, to improve our du'as, and of course, improve our actions as well. Now, we have expectations of excellence from others and almost everything that we get from others. Right, whether it's a service or whether it's respect or a product or anything that we are getting from others, we always want the best. We don't want something that is mediocre. We want the best of the best, whenever possible, as much as possible. But the question is, what about ourselves? What about our own actions? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that inna Allah kataba al-ihsana ala kulli shay, that verily Allah has prescribed ihsan, excellence, perfection, proficiency in all things, so much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned even when it comes to taking the life of an animal, slaughtering an animal, for food and for our needs, that we do it in the best manner, and that we sharpen the knife so that it is least painful for the animal, so that it is quick and causes the least amount of pain. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ, that indeed Allah commands to do justice and to do ihsan. And the commentators say that al-ihsan in the language, in the Arabic language, refers to perfecting something and completing it. And it is derived from al-husn, which means al-jamal, which means beauty, which is the opposite of ugliness. So we learn from this that ihsan is that which leads to perfection, and that perfection leads to beauty and something being complete, which is the opposite of ugliness. And it is divided into three categories. So firstly, the ihsan, or the perfection and excellence in that which or in the relationship between the servant and his Lord, so that we worship and we serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to the questioning of Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, that مَا الْإِحْسَانِ, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded that it is that you should serve Allah as though you could see him, for though you cannot see him, yet he sees you. So this is ideally the state that we should have when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but ideally at all times, but especially when we are worshiping, serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we serve and worship Allah as though as though we could see him, but we know that we cannot see him, yet he sees us, right? So that we feel that presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we are conscious of it during our worship, so that our worship is not just, you know, rituals without meanings, but rather it is a conscious act, a act that we realize we are doing in a state that we would have if we were able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, that when we know that we are doing something, we are performing, or we are doing something in the presence of others, and there's an expectation, you know, there is a certain level of you know, of expectation from the one or those we are doing it for, then there's a completely, you know, different level, right? As opposed to just doing something when no one can see us, and, you know, we're just doing it just like that, you know. So there's a difference between the two. So to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ihsan is to serve him with this feeling as if we are able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course we cannot see him, but knowing then that he is seeing us. So being really feeling like, you know, that we are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are doing acts of worship, and really at all times. Ibn Rajab, rahmatullahi alayhi, he writes to the effect that this hadith indicates that the servant worships Allah in this manner by evoking his nearness, and that he or she is in front of him as if they were seeing him, which leads one, what is the effect? Which leads one to fear, to piety, respect, and veneration, right? These are the effects of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that feeling of presence. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, ihsan, you know, excellence or perfection in what is between the servant and the rest of the people, right? So basically, excellence and perfection in our relationships, in our interactions with those who are close to us, those who are around us, those that we know, that we don't know, those who are believers, those who are not believers, other human beings. And we can expand that to even, you know, all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even to animals, because Imam Qurtubi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he writes that a person in whose house his cat is not fed, or birds are not taken care of, no matter how devoted that person may be to acts of worship, they will not be considered to be from the muhsinun, from the doers of good. So we find that doing good, and especially having, you know, excellence and perfection in our interactions with the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited to just, you know, human beings, but rather it is expanded to animals and all of Allah's creation as well. Thirdly, my brothers and sisters, doing things well. So the third aspect of ihsan is to do things well and to perfect what we do, so that when we make something or when we do something, an action, that we try to do it as perfectly and as completely as possible, right? Regardless of what the action is, as a, of course, as long as it's not something which is haram, it's something which is permissible, that we try to do it in the best way possible. Now, of course, we are all human beings, and we go through ups and downs, and we're not in, you know, we're not in a stable, stagnant state at all times. You know, we have ups and downs. We go through happiness and sadness and grief, and we go through challenges, and we go through ease, and we have achievements and failures. So we are human beings, right? So it may be challenging at times, but the point is to intend and to try our best. Now, you know, every now and then, at least on an annual basis, we should evaluate ourselves. Because when it comes to our physical selves, you know, we have medical examinations. When it comes to our spiritual self, there are also opportunities for getting a spiritual examination and guidance from scholars and experts. But the reality is, though, my brothers and sisters, that no person, you know, is always going to be with us, you know, and watching over us and constantly guiding us. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching us, and Allah is the one who guides us. But as far as human beings are concerned, we don't have a watcher over us who is constantly watching us and who is, you know, examining us and pointing out our flaws and our, you know, mistakes so that we can correct ourselves. So therefore, we must build the habit of introspection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. that all you who believe, ittaqullah, fear Allah, and keep your duty to Him. وَلْتَنْظُرْ, and let every person look. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word, you know, of looking. And let every person look to what he or she has sent forth for tomorrow. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and again Allah says, fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, verily Allah is all aware of what you do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we should pay attention to our actions. Pay attention to what you're sending forward into your account of deeds, good and bad. What is it that you're storing up that you're going to have to face on the day of judgment? So look and pay attention, right? Introspection. So are we sliding? Are we going down? Are we stagnant? Are we improving? Right? And what we wanted to do, my brothers and sisters, is to try to add improvements every year in everything that we do, so that our life is filled with progress, with betterment, with positivity. You know, this includes our work, our relationships, our health, our finances, but most importantly, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the relationship that matters the most. Now, it may not always be possible in every way, right? As we discussed, if we're facing challenges in our life, but we should try our best. You know, with Ramadan being less than a month away, which is the highlight of the year, you know, for the believers, basically think of it, you know, if we use an example from sports, you know, like the playoffs and the finals, right? So we want to aim for excellence, right? So, you know, with Ramadan being so close, right? This is the time, you know, the playoffs, the finals, the ending of the season. So we want to aim for excellence so that we have, you know, ideally ihsan in worship at all times, but especially in Ramadan worship, right? So that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan this year in the best way possible, you know, with the presence of mind, with our heart and our soul and our mind, so that the improvements that we gain in Ramadan are long-lasting improvements. You know, they're not just temporary for a few nights, a few days, a few hours, and then we go back to our old selves. But rather, you know, we can truly improve ourselves when we exit Ramadan. So Sha'ban is now here. Consider it to be, you know, like the end of the regular season. We want to end the season on a high note so that we have a high chance of success in the playoffs and eventually in the finals. The finals, as you can imagine, will be the last 10 nights of Ramadan, right? So we really want to make sure that we end the season, right, this year in Sha'ban on a high note, so that we get into the playoffs while we are fit and we are ready and we are warmed up through the first 20 days and nights of Ramadan, and then for the last 10 we are ready for the finals. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his practice in Sha'ban? The Aisha radiallahu anha says, فَمَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِسْتَكْمَلَ صِيَامَ شَهْرٍ إِلَّا رَمَضَانَ. She says that I have never seen the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, istakmala siyama shahrin, fast for a whole month besides illa Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. Wama ra'aytuhu akthara siyama minhu fi Sha'ban, and keep more fasts outside of Ramadan than in the month of Sha'ban. Okay, so Aisha radiallahu anha saying that she never saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam fasting for a whole month beside the month of Ramadan, and him keeping more fast than in the month of Sha'ban, meaning outside of Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has also said regarding Sha'ban, ذَلِكَ شَهْرٌ يَغْفَرُ النَّاسُ عَنْهُ بَيْنَ رَجَبُ وَرَمَضَانِ, that is a month to which people do not pay attention between Rajab and Ramadan. It's a month when people are, you know, distracted. So, of course, we don't, if there's something that ought to be given our attention, we want to be people who give attention to that thing, in this case Sha'ban. We don't want to be from the people who are distracted and who do not pay attention. Now Aisha radiallahu anha, her practice was to make up any missed obligatory fasts before Ramadan in the month of Sha'ban. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would make up also missed optional fasts. So fasts which were not obligatory, but for some reason perhaps he was not able to fast on those days. So he would make up the missed optional fast in the month of Sha'ban as well. So if we have any missed fasts, especially obligatory missed fasts, then they should really be made up before next Ramadan if we are healthy enough to fast. And as we learn, you know, Sha'ban is a special month. This is indicated by the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, he would fast so much, and the reason, you know, one of the reasons that he gave is that, you know, this is the month when the deeds are presented, are raised, and are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that I want my deeds to be presented while I'm in a state of fasting, right? In a state of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in a state of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we learned from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, he would fast a lot in Sha'ban, although, you know, he advised not to fast in the second half of Sha'ban. And this is has been, you know, understood in different ways by the scholars. But basically, for those, you know, who are not used to fasting, perhaps it's not a good idea to fast in the second half of Sha'ban, so that, you know, we are able to replenish ourselves, so that we are able to refresh ourselves and prepare ourselves physically for the fasting in the month of Ramadan. However, if someone was in the habit of fasting regularly before Sha'ban, and just, or even in the first half of Sha'ban, then, you know, you can continue with some fasting. However, it's good to leave some space, a few days at least, between Sha'ban and Ramadan, so that we don't have continuous fasting through Sha'ban and into Ramadan. So at least take a break of a few days. Now, our pious predecessors, they would focus on the Quran in the month of Sha'ban. You know, like really intensifying the recitation of Quran and reflection on the Quran, and really building that connection with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, nowadays what we find is that I'm noticing that there's a lot of focus on decorations, you know, Ramadan decorations and, you know, things, you know, objects and items to decorate our homes. And, you know, and some of them are, mashallah, you know, they're very nice, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, with meaningful beauty, because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves beauty. So if it's done in a halal and, you know, reasonable way, which is not wasteful, then, you know, there is room for that. It likely is a good thing. However, you know, and of course for our children as well, to build some excitement and a reminder of the coming of the month of Ramadan. So nothing wrong with that. But my brothers and sisters, let us not make it just about that. We don't want Sha'ban to be just about, you know, decorating for Ramadan without the actual meaningful aspects that, you know, we should be focusing on, without the spirituality as an example. You know, we don't want Ramadan, we don't want all of our holidays, you know, and special times to become commercialized and only commercialized like the other holidays. Yes, you know, some trade and business to prepare for Ramadan, Ramadan decorations in moderation, like I said, you know, fine, alhamdulillah. But it shouldn't just become about that. And it shouldn't just, you know, fully become commercialized, so that when Ramadan is coming up, the first thing and the only thing that comes to our mind is, oh, decorations, and oh, the need, you know, the things I need to buy, and how things need to look for Ramadan, while we neglect, or while we, you know, don't really pay attention to the actual substance, which is our spiritual state and our spiritual preparation for the month of Ramadan. So yes, you know, decorations and other preparations and purchases and so on in moderation may be fine, but let us not lose focus, and let us remember what Ramadan and what Sha'ban are really about. And at the end of the day, we don't want to overlook this month of Sha'ban, and especially from a spiritual point of view, as the Prophet ﷺ has described that most people end up doing. So what do? Increase in as much good as possible. You know, because Sha'ban is the time to revive our hearts, to warm up for Ramadan, to get that spirituality back, you know, to focus, to prepare ourselves mentally, prepare ourselves physically, so that we can get into Ramadan in the best position possible. And part of that is to reflect upon last Ramadan. You know, how did it go? Of course, like we said, it was the pandemic. It was a very unique Ramadan, but how did it go? You know, what did we have trouble with? What did we miss most? You know, what would you really like to do this Ramadan? What went well? What can we improve on? You know, practically, is it the state of our fasting? Is it the types of activities we're engaged in during fasting? The types of things that we talk about during fasting, or that we listen to? You know, perhaps it's the recitation of Quran. Perhaps we can do it with more feeling and understanding and reflection. Perhaps it is the state of our dua. Maybe we are making dua while we are, you know, in a state of distractiveness, and we are not focusing in our dua. We are not feeling our dua, perhaps. Or perhaps, you know, we want to improve our experience in Qiyam and Taraweeh. We want to make it more enjoyable and more meaningful. We want our hearts to shake, our iman, our yaqeen, you know, to increase when we hear the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being recited. Our hearts, you know, tremble and shake. We feel something when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, as Allah describes from the qualities of the believers, and, you know, at the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal, you know, to have an iman rush. You know, what do you want this Ramadan, and you know, what do you want to improve on practically, you know, so that we are constantly building up, you know, for each Ramadan, each year, you know, we are improving, we are getting ahead, we are improving and strengthening our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, each Ramadan can be a great stepping stone. You know, imagine if a person has even one improvement that they bring into their lives each Ramadan that helps them get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, can imagine how meaningful, how powerful that can be. You know, after 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, for each year, you know, there are 40, 50, 60, 70 improvements that they've brought into their lives that have stayed with them and that helped them bring them closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, as opposed to what we don't want is that we stay in the same condition. We improve a little bit in Ramadan, you know, and then we fall back. You know, it's like a person who's sitting in their car and they're just moving ahead a little bit and then they're reversing. They're not really getting anywhere. They're not going anywhere, right? They're just going back and forth, back, you know, forward, reverse. And that's not what we want, right? We want to be a person who is constantly improving, is on a journey, and they have, you know, goals and objectives and destinations that they want to achieve in their journey. And this is our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So that's what we want in our Ramadan, you know, as individuals, as families, and as communities as well. So how do we achieve that? So first of all, you know, we need to clean up the pollution. We need to clean up the pollution, right? People do spring cleaning, right? Because there's mess and there's junk after the winter, right? In our homes, in our yards, you know, on the street, there's litter. But so spring cleaning, but spiritual spring cleaning, right? So we detox and we wean ourselves off of that which distracts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because honestly, one of the primary reasons why we are not able to concentrate, why we are not able to focus, why we don't feel anything, and a lot of this has to do with feeling, why we're not able to feel anything is because we are distracted, right? Because there's so much junk that we fed, you know, to our brains, to our hearts, to our bodies, that there's so much distraction and there's so much filth. There's filth and distraction, right? And that doesn't jive with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't jive with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are we going to develop feelings for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if our heart is filled with junk? You know, it's filled with darkness because of our sins, right? So this is that process of weaning ourselves off. It starts to wean ourselves off from all of those things which cause heedlessness, which cause us to be distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which do not remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, cutting those things off or weaning ourselves off as much as possible, and, you know, listening to, as an example, you know, heart-touching Quran recitation that has crying, you know, fasting, you know, spending prayer time, you know, offering prayer at night alone, or just, you know, spending time alone in solitude, especially at night, you know, reflecting on our death, reflecting on the afterlife, you know, gaining knowledge about Ramadan, about learning, you know, the wisdoms, the virtues, the secrets, the rulings of Ramadan, of fasting, you know, of prayer, of dua, of sadaqah, of all the things that we're going to be doing in the month of Ramadan. So really preparing ourselves, you know, learning with humility, learning about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about Ramadan, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught, what his companions radiallahu anhum have done, have said, have practiced, and what our pious predecessors and even current, you know, contemporary people of knowledge and taqwa have said, people of knowledge and piety have said about Ramadan, right? So really immersing ourselves in every way possible so that when the time comes, right? So that when the time comes, when Sha'ban ends and Ramadan starts, we have the best position, right? We are starting off with the best pole position, right? Like in a race, you know, we're up ahead in the front and we're ready to go, and we don't need time to warm up or to figure things out, but we're ready to go straight out of the gate. You know, that is what the position that we want to be in. You know, most importantly, building passion and desire deep inside of us for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His love, for His pleasure, for His forgiveness, for the month of Ramadan, you know, and to plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a spiritually refreshing and meaningful Ramadan with acceptance and His pleasure, inshaAllah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this month of Sha'aban. Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'aban, mubaligna Ramadan. May He guide us towards, perfecting ourselves in goodness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. Subhanallah, my brothers and sisters, how many people today are thinking that they are going to get to Ramadan, but actually last Ramadan was to be their last Ramadan. They just don't know it even at this point. It could be any of us, right? Maybe the last Ramadan, the last prayer, the last sujood, the last dua that we made, right? The last prayer that we offered in Ramadan last year was our very last one ever in Ramadan. Only Allah knows, right? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify and revive our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the best Ramadan thus far. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us, to guide us, to make it easy for us to gain nearness to Him, and that He grants us acceptance and grants us a Ramadan that He wants us to feel and to experience. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the way He wants us to be in the month of Ramadan. Al-Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all of those who are ill. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of those who have returned to Him. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to cure, to remove all distress and hardship and stress and anxiety and grief from all of those who are going through all of those things, and to replace it with happiness and peace. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum.